Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
We just had a great afternoon yesterday at Kauffman Stadium. I took my mom, who will be, oh boy, I hope I get this right, 89 in August, to the Royals game with my sister and her grown son. Four of us went to the game. It was a dreadful game. To be honest, it was an absolutely dreadful, lifeless game by the Royals. They had runners all day long, and nobody could get a hit with anybody on base as the Royals got shut out 3-0. But we just had a fantastic day, and it wasn't one of those days where we'll spend a little time on this in the back half of the podcast talking about the Royals. It wasn't one of those days like filled with energy and, oh, the ballpark, and you're amped up. It was relaxing. We had open seats around us. We had wonderful seats right behind home plate. Mike Robinson, one of our great sponsors at Roberts Robinson, offered me some tickets a few weeks ago, and I had kind of circled that date as a day that maybe my mom could go in the afternoon if the weather was good, and it was about 80 degrees. We had some clouds, some sun. We eventually moved into the shade for her later in the game. We stayed for every pitch. It's the way she watches baseball. You got to love it. And I'll have a lot more thoughts on the Royals a little bit later in the podcast because we just, you know, it was great. They won the night game. It was a day-night doubleheader. The Royals splits. They didn't hit much on Tuesday, but they were able to get a win. And we'll talk some Royals baseball, but it is fun to go to a ball game. It is actually quite relaxing. I'm not sure the Royals won it that way, but it's relaxing, and it was just great quality time. It was a lot of fun. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later. But we start with the primary elections that took place, which are scattered all over America over the next few months. As we know, in our area, they're not until much later in the summer. But we had the headliner, of course, Pennsylvania, but North Carolina was a big deal. We had a couple out west as well that weren't quite as big a deal as what was going on in Pennsylvania and North Carolina on this Tuesday. And then, of course, next Tuesday is the state of Georgia, where there's a big governor's race. And that's probably the place it looks like that Donald Trump's pixie dust. Is that what Barack Obama once said? What can you do? Just wave a little magic wand or pixie dust and fix everything? Well, Trump's been waving the pixie dust and the magic wand, and everybody's endorsing his winning. The headline event on Tuesday, and we're not going to get down into the weeds of this race because it looks like it's headed for a recount in all likelihood between McCormick and Oz for the Senate seat. This is for the Republican nomination for United States Senate in the state of Pennsylvania. McCormick led most of the day as the mail-in ballots came in and the smaller precincts and stuff. And then Dr. Oz made a pretty good comeback. He was down 7-8 points with 20% of the vote in. And then as the vote became more and more, it got closer and closer. And you could see this coming. When I woke up on Wednesday morning, Dr. Oz now has a 2,600 vote lead, which is 0.2%. It's 0.2% that they're apart. Anything less than a half point apart is an automatic recount in the state of Pennsylvania. There are still some precincts out there, which could be as much as 5% of the vote, that need to be counted. And Dr. Oz has, obviously, most campaigns will say this, but there are others backing this up. Most people believe that the votes that are still outstanding will favor Dr. Oz. It was a very interesting race that almost every pundit now is saying if Trump had endorsed McCormick, it would have been a double-digit win for McCormick. This thing would be over, and that would be that. But he endorsed Dr. Oz. And I asked the question a week or two ago on the podcast, is Donald Trump supporting Dr. Oz because he's the best America First candidate, or is he supporting Dr. Oz because he sees himself? He sees a television celebrity, a big name, you know, somebody who can gain notoriety. You know, Donald Trump is the fusion of America First populism and the sledgehammer that is celebrity in America. And you cannot discount what celebrity means in this country. People in the United States love celebrities. This man's up 2,600 votes. I can't see any way that there aren't way more people than 2,600 in Pennsylvania that went to the polls and voted for Dr. Oz because they liked his TV show. Because they trust him, they know him, they like him, he's a celebrity, and they voted for him. I believe that. I believe in that. I won't even say in many cases that that's bad. We see cases where you vote that way and it turns out you were wrong and you voted for the wrong reason. I can make a really strong argument that Barack Obama very quickly became a celebrity in America, and that's the reason he won, People thought he was cool. People thought he was hip. People thought he was the guy, the celebrity. They didn't vote for him based on policies or brilliance or resume or what he had done in the past or accomplishment. He'd never really accomplished much in his life. None of that was the reason people voted for Obama. Americans love personalities. They love celebrities. It's carrying Dr. Oz, and Donald Trump put him over the top. Trump won big with J.D. Vance last week in Ohio. J.D. Vance would not have won without Trump's support. In Georgia next week, I think that's the end of it. Trump is now like 77-1 in primary endorsements. And some of these, to be honest, I would guess at least 50, maybe 60 of them. He's pretty smart. He's just cherry picking. He's looking at places and going, okay, there's a guy that's going to win. I'll jump in and support him. And Trump sort of did that with Mastriano, the gubernatorial candidate in Pennsylvania, came in late and said, I'll endorse this guy who won by 20-some points, won big, knew he was going to win. Of course you take the Trump endorsement. You're not going to say, no, we don't want it. So he jumps in late, knows who's going to win, jumps on the bandwagon, and knows that if Dr. Oz doesn't win, he still has a win in Pennsylvania. That's kind of what he was doing. Trump does this everywhere. He had several endorsements in North Carolina. Now, he pretty much won them all. He won them all. His Senate candidate won huge. So I'm not saying that the Trump endorsement doesn't matter. It does. He's also a very savvy politician now that understands people are starting to talk about, hey, that dude is 77-1 in endorsements. Well, he's probably more like 7 or 8-1. And the rest, he just jumped on board and said, these people are going to win. I'm with them. I'll give you an example. Trump hasn't endorsed Billy Long in Missouri. Billy Long has sort of been his guy in Missouri. Billy Long is probably not the right candidate for Missouri to be the United States Senator. He probably just isn't a U.S. Senator. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. It's up to the people of Missouri to decide, not up for me to decide. But there's some really outstanding candidates there. There's a lot of love on the right for Greitens, despite his personal woes. I think Eric Schmidt is doing a great job at the border, gaining a lot of national attention with the things he's doing. Vicky Hartzler has reportedly all the money in this race. So there's a lot of candidates. Missouri is Pennsylvania. It is. It doesn't have a Hollywood celebrity in it. But short of that, this is a battle. This is a battle royale, and we're not going to know for quite a while. And it wouldn't surprise me if Trump waits until, 3 weeks out or 4 weeks out before the primary and sees somebody leading by 5 or 6 points and says, I'll go in with that person. Ultimately, I think Trump will probably jump in. This is just a guess. I think he will jump in with Schmidt. I just still get the feeling that Schmidt will wind up leading in the polls somehow. I think he's out in front of people. He's on TV a lot. He's doing a lot of things with lawsuits and actions at the border. I think Missouri voters, that will resonate with them. I don't know. I can't say. I don't think McCloskey will be a factor. I don't think Billy Long can win it unless Trump supports Billy Long. And maybe that will happen. We kind of see Trump's game. I think people are missing the big point here, because on the left, they went crazy last night. I watched a lot of election coverage. I like it. I watch it like sporting events. Big sporting events. And I'm watching CNN just to get their take on a couple of things. And they're just drooling over the fact that all these Trump candidates are winning. They love it. They're like, oh boy. And Chris Wallace was on there. Oh my God. And he's like, oh yeah, this is great. If you're a Democrat, this is exactly what you wanted. You wanted Mastriano to be the guy in Pennsylvania because da-da-da-da-da, and he's too far right, and he's Donald Trump, and he's a election conspiracy guy, and they're saying all this stuff. I'm like, you people are missing the point. Everybody is missing the point with Donald Trump and endorsements here. Okay? This is the midterm election. What you think about Donald Trump today is different than what you thought of him in November of 2020. When you voted for him. I've asked multiple friends, and I could poll this audience, or maybe I should do it on Twitter, I don't know. If there were a primary vote right now, ask yourself this. A primary vote in your state between Trump and DeSantis, who would you vote for? I've asked 5 people in my life who they would vote for, and they all 5 said DeSantis. All 5. And these are all 5 people that love Donald Trump. The point that's missing in all these primaries in the commentary and the reaction to the primaries is not the Trump effect. It's not his record. It's not liberals going crazy, going, oh, this is great. All these Trump people are winning, which means we're going to beat those people because they're Trump people. We'll beat those people in the general election. No, no, no. They're missing it all. Donald Trump needs to be very careful this midterm election to not just become the kingmaker. He is positioning himself as that. He's certainly doing that, and it's working. The question is, do most Trump voters want him in that role because they love him, they thank him, they cherish their 4 years with Donald Trump for fundamentally changing the Republican Party, swinging it to the right, becoming America first, becoming populist, things that I've thought of my entire life, pointing out things and showing us the way of beliefs that we've always had, bringing it out in us, getting us to engage, involved, react, and become political in our lives. He has clearly done this for millions of Americans. He has brought people under the tent of the GOP that had no idea they were Republicans and had no idea they were political until Trump came along. And now they know. And ultimately, we may refer to him as the father of the party or the godfather of the party or whatever we want to call him somewhere down the road. But if you ask your friends right now, who would you vote for in a primary, Trump or DeSantis? They are likely to say DeSantis. DeSantis supposedly has told Trump, I will not primary you. If you're running, I won't run. I think DeSantis may want to rethink that. And I think our party, by the results of what we're seeing here, maybe, and I hate to say this because I love the man. I love him for what he did for us more than anything else. We may be in a better position to go forward with Trump as the kingmaker and not the candidate. That is quite possible. He's good at this. He's good at this. And people came in for Trump. What we don't know is what happens if Trump runs in 24 against, who's he going to run against? I think if he runs against Biden, he wins in a landslide. I don't think Biden gets reelected. I don't think it matters who runs against Biden. I am not convinced Joe Biden is running in 24. In fact, I don't think he will. I think there's about a 90% chance that he doesn't. I think it's going to be a primary season. I think Kamala Harris is going to run. I think Buttigieg is going to run. I think a lot of people that you've heard of before, Bernie Sanders is going to run. Hillary Clinton may run. I might be a little scared. I'll be honest with you. I might be a little scared if Hillary ran against Trump. I might be a little scared. There's a lot. What if Michelle Obama runs? She'd beat Trump. She would. Don't laugh it off. She would. She's a celebrity. She's the feel-good celebrity. I'm doing the right thing. I'm voting for the minority. The Obama years were okay. I feel good about myself. She's calm. She's not Trump. All that. I'm telling you, these are things that we better be thinking about if we want that White House in 24. And as we're watching this unfold in the primaries, I think they're missing the big point. And that isn't that, you know, Trump can't win in 24 or Trump's candidates can't win because he's endorsing them. It's the Trump effect. What has happened in this party is the result of Donald Trump. It's essentially like saying he built, you know, the Trump company, but maybe his sons work harder now and run more of it than he does. You build something, you hand it off. Jack Dorsey built Twitter. He's barely even on the board anymore, right? You hand it off. Is that how Trump is best suited? Because that's what it feels like he is now. It feels like what Trump did from, what was it, June of 2015 until today, 7 years, essentially 7 years in big time politics. What Trump has done in 7 years, nobody in our lifetime has done for this party. Reagan did great things as president. He was the best president of my lifetime. He did great things as president. He brought in a whole bunch of young conservatives to vote for him, including me. I was not political. When I started listening to Reagan, I said, I like what he says. I love America. I love defeating communism. I love this economy. The 80s were a wonderful time to go to college and be of that age and vote for the first time. And I was a Republican for life because of Ronald Reagan. He did that. He built that. That's what Trump's building. That's what he's done. Trump has been a builder his whole life. Maybe he's better at being the builder. Maybe he's best suited to be the builder and not be the guy. Now, that being said, I think he's going to run. I think he's got a great chance to win. That's down the road. But as we watch what happens in this election cycle, Republicans clearly at this point, unless something changes dramatically, are going to make wild gains in the House and the Senate. And the Trump effect isn't really the endorsement. The Trump effect is cumulative over 7 years and what people have done. How does Dr. Oz go from a cushy gig making millions of dollars doing his TV show to saying, I want to run for Senate? How does that happen without Donald Trump? Where do these candidates come from? J.D. Vance, how does he run without Donald Trump? Where do these people come from if not Donald Trump? We know exactly what this is. Look at the number of candidates running in Missouri. How does a guy who's been on television, standing in his yard with his gun, keeping people off his private property, and getting into legal trouble for that, run for United States Senate after that? This is all because of the Trump effect. That's McCloskey, the guy from St. Louis. The Trump effect has people getting into politics that have never been in before. We see it from Senate races all the way down to school boards. It's the Trump effect. And it was in full effect on this Tuesday night. And it is too close to call. I don't think we're going to learn on Wednesday who wins the Republican primary for senator in Pennsylvania. I think there will be a recount. This could take a while. There's only 2,600 votes apart, which is 0.2%. And so that is not very much. And the law says anything within 0.5%, they can do a recount, and they probably will. Now, Arizona and Missouri are down the road. Trump has not endorsed anybody there. Well, all right, we got good people running in those states. We'll see what he does. We'll see if he latches on to who he thinks is going to win. Or, because in Missouri, I think Trump could pick a candidate and say this is the one who wins. Like, if Trump looks past all the Greitens slime and stuff and goes with Greitens, I think Greitens would win. Now, would Greitens win the general? I don't know. I don't know. You got a lot of questions to ask here. I know. Look, I just don't feel like it's my place. I don't have a vote in Missouri. I don't feel like it's my place to really say much. You vote for who you want to vote for in the primary. Primary's primary. When it comes to the general, I'll be all on board with whoever wins. I know what I would like to see happen in Missouri, but that's just me. I know what I would like, and I'll let you know if it happens. And if it doesn't happen, I'll say, well, that isn't, after the primary's over and somebody wins, I'll say that isn't what I hoped for, but I'm on board with it. I'll be on board with any of them. Don't you worry. Those of you out there sending me emails saying, you hate Eric Greitens. I'm like, I don't hate Eric Greitens. I just wish his personal life was cleaned up. I'm not saying he did anything. I don't know whether he did or didn't. He's not a criminal. He's not going to jail, whatever. You know, Trump turned on him because he resigned. Trump thought he was a quitter. You know, Trump and Greitens were tight. It was a thing. And Trump's kind of turned on him because he quit. He's like, the fight got hard and you quit. Trump doesn't like quitters. You know that. So there's a lot of things going on. It'd be very interesting to see what happens in Arizona, Missouri with Trump. But the Trump effect is in full effect, and it is amazing. It is glorious and amazing. We should all just enjoy and celebrate it and look forward to November. All right, one other thought on politics, and this comes from the White House. The new press secretary is Karine Jean-Pierre, and I had planned on doing a big deal on this, and I'm not going to do it. I just want to point this out because I don't think you're going to hear this anywhere else. I watched her press conference yesterday, and I'm more disturbed than ever about the media, the White House press secretary. This is all such a joke. You know, Americans are pretty smart about this. They watched Trump for several years field all these questions, have all these little tit-for-tat exchanges with Acosta and all these people in the White House press corps, and it was all off the cuff. It was all real. It was all transparent, and it's what Americans expect out of their White House. It is. It's what Americans want and expect. They have moved Karine Jean-Pierre into the White House press secretary role, and I watched her this week for extended periods of time, and this is how bad it is. This is where we are. We know that it's a setup when Biden's out there. We know it's all a teleprompter. Whoever writes the words on the teleprompter is in charge. Elon Musk has pointed that out. He's exactly right. But we've known that. And we hear him try to answer questions, and it doesn't seem like they're real. Nobody's asking the questions you want to have asked. But the new press secretary is in there, and she gets asked a question. Then she looks down at the dais and reads the answer. I am not making this up. she reads the answer. And I'm not talking about like a quote, like the president believes X, Y, Z, and then looks up and starts talking. No, I'm talking about she looks down and doesn't look up. So the new White House press secretary knows the questions that are coming from her reporters that are her friends and used to be her colleagues when she was on TV and all this other stuff. Like, they're her buddies. These are plants. This is like me getting, you know, 10 of you to sit in a room and ask me questions about my podcast that I know you're going to ask in advance. And then I read the answer. Because what? Because I can't talk about these things off the cuff? It's absurd. This is absurd. She knows the questions and then reads the answers. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. This is supposed to be the highest level of our country, and they are so inept that we now have a White House press. This is worse than Jen Psaki being bitchy and elitist and all that other stuff. This is worse. This is someone clearly they do not trust to speak on behalf of the White House. Here's your notes. We're going to write it down when they ask you this question. Fumble through your paper. Okay, here's the one. Okay, they're asking me about Ukraine. All right, ask me. Ukraine. Okay, let me talk about Ukraine. Ukraine is right next to Russia. Russia is having a war with Ukraine. We support Ukraine. We want the Senate to pass $40 billion. The president has said democracy must rule and America is great. Next question. I mean, it's unbelievable that she's reading answers. I don't even read when I talk to you about my sponsors on this show. You know, I get a little nervous. I could say something about a sponsor that sets them off. But I know them. I know these people. And I do everything off the cuff here. We don't script this podcast. It's ridiculous. That's why I can tell you about people like Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence. If you need an MRI or a CT scan, why wait 3 weeks with your hospital chain? When your doctor says, get the scan, get to Advanced Medical Imaging in Lawrence. It's a little bit more of a drive, but you get in today. Call Trisha and schedule your appointment, 785-856-0224. They have the best, biggest, most comfortable machines for MRIs available. They're quiet. They have natural lighting. It's comfortable. Put healthcare in your own hands with Advanced Medical Imaging. Here's the website. MedImageKS.com. Funny story. We had a listener not remember exactly what the name of this was and then maybe went back through the podcast and tried to find it. They just called another one of my sponsors that they knew and said, hey, can you tell me the name? No. Don't call the other sponsors asking about MedImageKS.com. You want to get the scan? I want to help you. You can always email me about any of our sponsors. You have any questions? You want the hookup? You want an introduction? I'm happy to do it. With any sponsor, anytime, shoot me an email, kevin@kkasissues.com. Certainly you can remember that, kevin@kkasissues.com. And I will put you in touch with these fine folks at medimageks.com, a great new sponsor. Appreciate having them on board. And if you need your scan, get in today or tomorrow at the latest and get it done because time is of the essence. Cross Kitchens, KC, Tim Cross and his family have a wonderful small business. He's friends and has known and employed his craftsmen for many years. Even though this is a small mom and pop business, look, every job gets the personal attention of the owner. Isn't that what you want? Do you want some big corporate company coming in and you don't know who your project manager is and then they go quiet for a while and they went off to somebody else's job? Do you want that at your house? Or do you want the owner of the company involved in your project saying, look, we're going to have your project done in 2 weeks or less? We're coming in. We're going to do this. Here's what we're going to do day by day by day by day. And we're getting out of here. We're going to finish this. It's going to be gorgeous and spectacular. We're going to do it for the price we say, and you're going to get your life back. Or do you want somebody working in your house for 3 months and taking 2 weeks off and leaving you sitting there for 2 weeks with all kinds of stuff torn up and nothing happening? And then you get frustrated and you're making a call and you're like, hey, where are you guys? You're going to come finish my project? That is not what you want. That is not what Cross Kitchens is. Tim Cross Kitchens are spectacular kitchens and remodels in your home. And they're going to treat your project like it's their own home. CrossKitchensKC.com. They'll do complete remodeling in your home. They'll do it all. They'll do bathrooms, everything. Or they'll do small jobs from countertop replacements to cabinet refinishing. You name it. They'd love to sit down with you and come up with a 3D rendering for you to look at and say, here's what we think we can do. Log on. CrossKitchensKC.com. and Dr. Jeremy Fry, my friend over at Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations. Summer is the best time for your teenager to have braces. They're not in school. They're not around all their friends. They're around their best friends, their select few friends. That's the best way. It's the most comfortable time for young people to get braces or Invisalign. So why don't you log on to fryorthodontics.com and schedule that first appointment and say, let's fix this smile right now. Give your child or your grandchild that smile for life. It's important. A beautiful smile for a lifetime is a wonderful gift. It creates confidence and leads to success. Summertime is the perfect time. Log on to fryorthodontics.com, mention the podcast, and save $500 with any treatment for new customers. All 50 states in the United States now have gas over $4 a gallon. Woohoo! We are on a roll. How about that? All 50 states, first time in the history of the United States of America, every single state's average gas price is over $4. I've never done this. I'm a Costco member. I also know people that are Sam's Club members. I've never bought gas at either one of those places. I'm going to later today. I'm having lunch with my buddy Lebo and Ted Wiley over at Sports Radio 810. Longtime friends, meeting them for lunch. When I go meet them for lunch, I'm going to drive by Costco and see what the gas price is. If it is under $4, that's going to be my new place. Because if the average price in Kansas or Missouri now is over $4 a gallon, I'm going to go to Costco and check out their price and see if it's really better. I've never done that, but why wouldn't I? You know, you pay the annual membership. We shop at Costco. Why wouldn't I go do that? All 50 states, average gas price now over $4. I'm going to do some research. There's also some apps out there that I've heard of. There's some apps on your phone that you can find cheaper gas if you'd like. I forget what they're, Gas Buddy, is that one of them? I don't know the names of them, but there's some apps that you can download in the App Store and it will locate the cheapest gas near you. So if it matters to you, do it. Everybody's trying a way to find a way to save a buck or two right now. And if you can save 20 cents a gallon, why not save the 20 cents a gallon? Might as well do it because this stuff's getting ridiculous and they don't care. The person I love that doesn't care is Ron DeSantis in Florida. He has passed this law in Florida about picketing, demonstrating, rioting, whatever you want to call it, in front of private residences. I don't think it will stand up to legal challenges, but a very smart, and so many of you are way smarter than me, and you send me stuff, and I love it. A listener sent me an email and said, look at all these municipalities with zoning laws that say you can't do this in a residential neighborhood, that you cannot gather, you cannot demonstrate, you can't do any of this in a residential neighborhood. I said, great, zoning laws have won all kinds of court cases. Zoning laws win. Municipalities can put together zoning laws and say you cannot be in the streets of Lenexa in front of Kevin Kietzman's house. That there's a zoning law that says you can't do it. Can't block the street. You can't crowd. You can't do that. We have laws against that. That works. That's different than a state law that says it's illegal for you to be shouting or holding a sign in front of somebody. Now, would a zoning law, if five of you showed up on my sidewalk holding signs, and you were not blocking the street or anything or walking up and down my sidewalk, I don't think a zoning law is going to stop that. The Florida law stops that. And that's why I think they're going to be in trouble with this law eventually. I love the spirit of it, but I don't like the spirit of it to take away free speech. So it's a giant contradiction for me. I understand what he's trying to do. We're trying to keep people safe, and I think that's fair. We've got to find the right way to do it in this case. Zoning laws might be the way. Zoning laws could say a group no larger than three people can gather unless you have a permit, you've approved it through the city, and a certain place that's not on a public street. The problem with this all is, to be honest, you can put laws on the books, but if Democrats don't enforce the laws, what's the point? We have a law that says it's illegal to be outside the Supreme Court justices' houses. That law's on the books. It's a federal statute. The Democrats are not enforcing it. It's Washington, D.C. They're in charge at the local county or district, local, the district, it's not state, but the district, and federal level at every position. The Democrats are in charge where these justices live. They're not doing anything about this, even though it's against the law. So we can pass laws. Can you imagine Republicans not enforcing the law? Can you imagine that? If the law were, it's against the law to do this. If this were Trump, and these people were outside the liberal justices, Ruth Bader Ginsburg's house when she was alive, if this were happening outside her house, can you imagine what would be happening if Donald Trump allowed this to happen and didn't go say, hey, listen, break it up, send some people in there, we're going to send the National Guard in. This is against federal statute. It's got to end. I do believe Republicans would do that. I believe Ron DeSantis would do that. I know I would do it. I know I would. I'd maybe let it happen for a few hours, get it on camera, message sent. You folks got to go home. This is dangerous. It's bad. It's wrong. You got to go. But I'm the only person that I've heard say this, and I do believe it. And I'm not going to lump them all in there because there's, you know, supposedly 80 million people went out and voted liberal in the last presidential election. And I can't tell you what percentage, but it's in the millions of people. I know these people. I've seen them. I know what they're about. We've seen the radical nature of them. There are millions of liberals that would love one of these demonstrators to kill one of those conservative justices, because then Biden could put in a liberal. They'd love it. They would love for one of these people to become a hero and go to jail for life or death by cop trying to or killing one of these justices. Don't kid yourself. Do not kid yourself. I know that's dark. I know it's heavy and it's dark and it's evil. I'm not going to give you a percentage. I don't know. But if 80 million people voted for Biden, there's millions of them that would like to see that happen. You've seen these people. You've seen them. You've watched them. You've heard them. You know what they're about. You know this is true. They want to kill cops. You think these people want to kill cops that they don't know, and they don't want to kill a Supreme Court justice they could replace with a liberal? Really? I'll defend my comment. Look, I'm a free speech warrior. I don't like talking about this because it's sinister and it's evil and it's dark. It's not my favorite thing to talk about. But let's get real. If we're going to be in America in 2022, let's get real and let's get honest. And let's say the tough part out loud. And that is, if millions of people want to shoot random cops for no reason, and one of my sad things about the Royals game yesterday was watching the cops at the stadium wearing body armor at a baseball game. Why? Well, because they're a little bit scared to do their job. People are randomly taking shots at cops. If you have people out there publicly supporting and getting support from politicians for violence against cops for no reason, random cops they don't know, you don't think those same people want violence against a Supreme Court justice that's conservative? Wake up and smell the coffee. You know it's true. Such a shame. And I don't have any commentary here, really. I don't know what this means. I just know that I've never seen this. I have commented that I believe this is going to be a very violent summer. We're seeing crazy people everywhere. We're post-COVID, and America's nuttier than ever. We've got a lot of mentally unstable people that did not do well during the pandemic. They may have lost their business. They may have lost their family. They may have lost their way. They may be scared to death they're going to die of this thing still. There are all kinds of millions of Americans out there dealing with all kinds of mental or social or economic issues that they've never dealt with in their lifetime. It's our new America based on what they did to us during COVID. And it's getting more and more violent in a lot of places. We have now had murders two nights in a row in Lawrence, Kansas. Lawrence, a fun little college party town. The first appears to be they are holding a man in his 20s who appears to have killed his wife, who was a former soccer player at KU, who was only 25. The second, on Tuesday night, is two people dead outside a Hy-Vee at about 9:40 p.m. on Tuesday night. Officials were very quick to say, there's no threat. This is contained. It's over. I don't know if they're not giving details. This could be a murder-suicide. They could be holding somebody that shot two people. But look, this stuff, And we definitely categorize things differently. A murder is not just a murder, right? We're all really afraid of the random death. Like you're at Topps grocery store or you're on the subway and somebody just opens fire. Domestic deaths we view differently. Not that they're not as tragic. They are. But I think we all think in our minds that we sort of control that. You know, like I'm married. I got my family. It's not something I think about here. Okay? And a lot of people are in violent relationships and have a hard time getting out, and that's a problem. We need to do better there. But those people are in control of their own lives, and I'm not saying anybody should ever be this victim, but I think you know if you're in a dangerous position or not. I think most people know that, if you're in a dangerous relationship or dangerous domestic situation. So I don't know. Maybe the second one is domestic too. We'll see. I just know when I've said that's going to get violent this summer, I've never seen back-to-back nights in Lawrence where people were murdered. I don't remember that. We see it in Kansas City, Missouri, and don't think much about it. But I just don't see it in Lawrence. It's an absolute shame. I mean, we don't need the stats. I don't think we need the statistics at this point to tell us that we got violence. Post-COVID is going to be bad. Suicides, mental illness, murders, violence. We don't need the stats. We know this. We see it. We see it in the headlines. We see it in our neighborhoods. We see it going on. It's really quite a tragedy. All right, big thanks to my buddy Mike Robinson, who hooked me up with sweet tickets for the Royals game on Tuesday. His dealership is awesome. Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. Customers there say we just make it easy, and that is right. That's the way it works. They will service your car by picking it up at your residence or your work and bringing it back to you. That's pretty cool. They also have 0% financing right now during truck month on GMC Sierra with $750 cash allowance. Save money, get your new truck under sticker price at robertsrobinson.com. These are the best people you've ever met. Wonderful folks. And if you're in the market for a GM, I don't care where you live. I think we had a guy in Georgia was trying to get a truck from them. They'll get it to you. They'll get your car, truck, SUV anywhere in the country. They can sell it to you. If you're looking for a new GM Sierra, Chevy Silverado, a Terrain, a Chevy Blazer, a Buick SUV, they've got them all, robertsrobinson.com. Amazing Garage Floors online at amazinggaragefloors.net. John Hutchins is a great Air Force veteran. He's a patriot. This is another wonderful mom-and-pop business with great conservatives. Would love to come put in the garage floor of your dreams or seal your concrete with Seal XP for your driveway. It adds years of life to your concrete. It is well worth the investment. Call 913-901-7139. AmazingGarageFloors.net, proud sponsors of Red, White, and Bluma, happening again this fall, which supports so many great charities in our area. And 360 Document Solutions, your business's business consultant. If you print anything from just common little pieces of memos and notes and things around your office to giant mailing systems where you're sending out all kinds of cards and letters and postcards through the mail, through whatever, to get more business. Doesn't matter what you do. Maybe it's artwork. Maybe it's design. 360 Document Solutions can help from start to finish in any possible way with copiers, printers, IT solutions, mailing systems, phone systems, outsourced IT. Get your complimentary analysis of all your document technology. Costs you nothing. They come in, they took it around. Mark takes a look at it and says, okay, we think we can do it for this and do it better for a lower price, and here's how. If he can't, he walks away. If he does, you save money. If not, you haven't wasted any time. You got somebody who really knows the business looking at your business. Log on to 360documentsolutions.com or call Mark, the owner, at 913-745-5344. On to sports and my day at the K with my mom. We had a wonderful day. My sister, my nephew. The Royals were just awful from the jump. With runners on base. I've never seen anybody have a worse day than Ryan O'Hearn. He left 8 stranded in the game yesterday himself and was up next in the 9th inning when Santana almost extended the 9th inning with a runner on. If he gets on base, there'd be 2 on. If O'Hearn hits a home run, they go to extra innings, 3-0. O'Hearn's in the on-deck circle. Santana hits a ball that looks like a surefire base hit out into short right field, and the second baseman grabs it, gets up, and throws to first. And Santana is so slow, they got him, but just barely. Imagine if he were safe and O'Hearn doesn't get a hit there. He would have stranded alone himself 10 runners, and Ryan O'Hearn got booed. I mean, he got booed bad in this game by Royals fans. In fact, the only emotion the Royals fans had in the game yesterday, the afternoon game, was booing. It was not a big crowd. It was not a raucous crowd. The place was not electric. This was a rainout game. I don't know how many people were there, maybe 10,000. It was not big. But the loudest emotions of the day were fans catching foul balls. We heard nice cheers for that. And booing Ryan O'Hearn. And I said to my mom and my sister, Curtis, my nephew, agreed with me. He agrees with me on a lot of things. We see eye to eye on a lot of things. As do my sister and mom on a lot of things, but not really the Royals. They love every player. They just think it's going to get better, and they're going to be great. And I'm cool with that. That's part of being a fan. I'm great with that. But they're like, we could never boo a player. So I could boo a player. I can boo a player. I can boo a manager. I said, listen, if I own this team, if I'm John Sherman and I'm here today, and I'm sitting in this lifeless stadium watching my team have all these base runners all day long and not score a single stinking run, I said, this game alone, because the Royals can go on and do what they do every year in the second half of the year and win a bunch of games, and you start to go, oh, look at there. They're coming along. They're really something. No, no, no. We got to remember this. You got to remember yesterday's 3-0 game against the White Sox and say, that isn't good enough. And yes, there's 162 games. And yes, it happens to everyone, but it happens to the Royals all the time. And they're not very good. And in the night game, Brady Singer goes out there, and he's just flat money. Brady Singer comes back from the minors, 7 innings, 9 strikeouts. Best start by a right-handed pitcher, statistically that way, since, what, 2011 or something, they said? Zach Greinke? Brady Singer was sick, ridiculous. You can see it. Brady Singer should be a Cy Young candidate. This guy should absolutely be a stud. He's got something when he throws. His ball moves. The statistics, if you go look at his pitch breakdown, it shows he threw no fastballs in the game. But he's throwing at 95 miles an hour. It registers as a sinker. His ball is two-seam fastball, has so much spin that it goes in on a right-handed hitter and drops. It has so much movement as a fastball that it is actually recorded by the machine as a sinker. This guy has sick stuff. Just ridiculous. I see what they love. I think Brady Singer, if he wants to be and has the mental capacity to do it and the competitive drive and spirit and all those things, the maturity, I think he can be a great pitcher. He's an ace. Daniel Lynch has shown the ability to be an ace. I see what the Royals have seen. But you also have to see the makeup of the person and know, can they become that? Do the Royals, I don't know where I stand on this. Do they have two aces in the making with Lynch and Singer? Or do they have two guys that are just going to show flashes like Danny Duffy did his whole career? Danny Duffy used to go out and throw 2-hit shutouts, remember? Danny Duffy would just, man, you'd watch him. He'd go out and did I just watch that guy throw a 2-hit shutout? Yes, I did. Then he goes out the next game and gives up 7 runs in 5 innings. And you go, what? And you can't figure it out. I don't know what I'm watching. I know the Royals' track record. Greinke wasn't their guy, right? That was Allard Baird, and those guys drafted Greinke. So did they develop him? Yes. Yes. I don't think they drafted. Maybe they drafted Greinke. I thought he was older than that. But I the track record shows that the Royals get these guys, and they turn into Danny Duffy. And that's not good enough. We'll see. Brady Singer was spectacular on Tuesday. I mean, just make you cry. It was so good. Just absolutely spectacular. We are hoping that the golf tournament this weekend is spectacular and that a lot of people watch. It's the second major of the year. And Danny Klinkscale was on our Patreon podcast Tuesday. We call it Between the Lines 2.0. If you'd like to become a member and become a patron and hear those podcasts every week with Danny, we talk a lot of golf on there, a lot of sports. It's very sports heavy. You get those every week along with the other patron podcasts. I'm going to take a chunk here and play it back for you because we had an interesting discussion. Nobody's really talking about the PGA this week. It's in Tulsa at Southern Hills. They're talking about the fact that Tiger is playing period, because the guy was in it. They're talking about off golf stuff. Tiger in a car wreck, Tiger this persona, Tiger. Tiger's playing. Can Tiger contend? Tiger. They're not talking about Jordan Spieth and the chance that he has to have a career slam on a course that he should be very good at, because he's from Texas and this is in Oklahoma. These courses are very similar. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about the other guys. They're talking about Tiger and Phil. Tiger's there. Phil is not. Phil is the defending champion. One of the most remarkable things ever was he won the PGA at his age last year, at age 49 or whatever it was, 50, whatever. He won a PGA. Phil should be there. It's a shame he's not there talking about the PGA. It's an absolute shame. But he's not. It appears he's not, because he wanted to play for money in Saudi Arabia. And now people are saying he wants to play for money in Saudi Arabia because he has a bunch of gambling debts from his years of gambling. And so he's gone AWOL. Nobody knows where he is or what he's doing. He's supposedly somewhere in shame. I think there has to be more to this story. It doesn't make sense to me that he's not there. We talked about it with Danny, and I asked him quite simply, isn't this bad for golf that we have a major coming up and all anybody's talking about is Tiger and Phil?
In the main, I think it would be better if we were just concentrating on golf as far as storylines that people are interested in who don't care that much about golf. I guess things like that always are going to move the needle a little bit more. And at least Tiger's there and playing, and Phil's not there, and we still have all kinds of mystery as far as that is concerned. And Alan Shipnuck's book comes out today, so we'll get more of the complete juicy details. I saw a lengthy interview with him on Golf Channel last night. They did a long, long, very well done, in-depth piece on the whole deal. And it was a pretty long interview with Alan Shipnuck, who came across as much more reasonable than you might expect from a guy who's writing a biography, an unauthorized biography, that obviously the juicy parts are the ones that are going to make news. But Royce, I was asked about Phil. He said, it's just a shame. It's a shame. We should be celebrating a historic event that occurred a year ago. And instead, we are looking at sort of a fall, not sort of, a total fall from grace as far as Phil Mickelson is concerned.
And we don't really know what.
And it's only, and just to figure out, it's only going to get worse, because not only is Shipnuck book coming out today, Billy Payne, is that his name? Billy the gambler? He's got a book that's coming out.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, yep. I think they remain friends, actually, Billy Walters and Phil Mickelson.
Billy Walters, we'll see. That's right.
I guess this Mickelson fall from grace is different to me, because I don't know exactly what's going on. You know, Phil made some sort of suggestion that maybe he had some sort of a mental problem. We've heard about the gambling losses now and some things like that. But you know, we're not talking about anywhere on the scale of Tiger Woods or something like that. Near as I can tell, he seems to be happily married. Maybe there's other stuff in the book. I don't know. He hasn't really hurt anybody. There's been no violence or breaking windows with nine irons or any of this stuff. I'm not sure I get this one.
Well, I think we are going to absolutely find out some more. And you know, it's not on the same level, because if somebody is someone who has a really bad gambling problem, for instance, and I don't care how much money you make, if you lose $40 million, that's a significant thing of your life. Another thing that supposedly happened, it was affected it enough that the reason that Bones McKay and he split up supposedly was the fact that Bones was having trouble getting paid. Gary McCord told a story that I heard last night on the show he does now with David Faraday on the radio, and one other mini tour player. His name's Drew something. He's actually quite good on the radio. I think they decided that just Faraday and one other guy is bad radio, and I think they were right. McCord is an air filler, to say the least. Anyway, McCord told this story about the fact that Phil and he used to have a gambling thing that went on, and McCord was in the 16th tower for a long time. So supposedly, I guess just about every time, if not every time, that Phil would get to the 16th hole, there would be a bet. And he said, for instance, at Castle Pines, where they used to play the International back in the day, the Stableford thing in Colorado, he would look down to Bones and say Phil had a 20 3-foot putt. This was the example he gave. And McCord would put up three fingers like 3-1. And Bones would go over to Phil, and Phil would either take the bet or not take the bet. And apparently this one time he made it. McCord balled up 3-20s, threw him on the green. Phil picked him up and won the bet. Okay. Sounds harmless. Sounds harmless enough, but you got to be quite the action junkie to be in the middle of an actual professional round of golf and want to bet. I mean, come on. Now, some other people may laugh it off. I kind of laugh it off, but if this is just kind of a regular thing that he's thinking about while he's playing professional golf to win, I don't get that. That to me, that sounds like a problem to me.
Okay, if you'd like to hear more, you can become a patron at KKHI. And hear it, we did about 30 minutes yesterday on a wide variety of sports topics. Danny's always interesting and fun to talk to about sports. We did it for years together on the radio. We call it Between the Lines 2.0, and you get that if you're a patron every single week at KKHI. If you'd like to hear more, log on to kkhisissues.com, click on Become a Patron, and for $5 a month, you get 2 to 3 podcasts a week and the newsletter on the weekends. So it can be up to 13 or 14 extra podcasts per month. They're generally shorter than the regular podcasts. They're 20 to 30 minutes long. And then 4 or 5, depending on how the weekends work out, newsletters each month. So I hope you'll enjoy that. And I hope that you enjoyed hearing Danny talk about the PGA. Looking forward to that event. KKHI is brought to you by bstock.net. Online at bstock.net. There's no dash, nothing. It's bstock.net. They are out of control, hooked up with laptops right now. Dell laptops, 50% off. If you go to Dell.com and you find a computer, a laptop, it's half that price at B-Stock right now. HP, Lenovo, Microsoft Surface, no reasonable offer refused right now on any Windows laptop. They have got to get rid of them. If you're a business and you want to buy a bunch of these, you'll save even more. They would love to load you up with brand new laptops. Half price laptops. This is crazy what's going on. Apple MacBook units starting at $399. Now, they go all the way up to the big $3,000 latest and greatest ones. They have it. But they're always going to be a ton lower than anywhere else. They're cheaper than Best Buy. They're cheaper than anywhere else online. They're cheaper than Nebraska Furniture Mart. It is B-Stock right now. Laptop Central. Do it. Grab one right now. It's time to update and get a new one. Log on to bstock.net, or even better yet, just drive to their warehouse in Olathe, get with one of the associates, say, show me what you have. Whether you're looking for the cheapest, best deal in the place, or the greatest laptop that you've been wanting forever at the best price you could ever imagine. bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. Finch Knives, online at finchknifecompany.com. They are now featuring the 1934 series, which is an homage to the Smoky Mountain National Park, which was created on June 15th, that's my birthday, 1934. How about that? That's before my mom was born. I think I run the math on that. 1934, the Smoky Mountain National Park became a reality. Magical blue hazes is what it's known for. Created by vegetation, rainfall, and sunlight is one of America's crown jewels. There is now a pocket knife series designed with the colors and the hues of the Great Smoky Mountains. Every Finch knife series is dedicated to something great American. I love that about Finch knives. That's why these are so collectible and so personal. If you know somebody that's got a connection to the Smoky Mountains, what a great gift. FinchKnifeCo.com. 1934 is the name of the series for the Smoky Mountain National Parks. There are many knives to choose from. You can also find them at the Bullet Hole in Mission, Shields in Overland Park, or Teague Tractor in Belton. Online, FinchKnifeCo.com. And Back 9 Development, I talked to my man TJ a couple days ago on the phone. He's just living the dream, man. He's just developing project after project. He's doing a house. He's meeting with somebody today, in fact, in Kansas City, about a custom home. And he does all kinds. He's got another house going in Lansing. He's doing some commercial projects. This guy has an unbelievable vision, and his execution is phenomenal. No detail is too small with Back 9 Development and TJ Vilkanskis. You really want to meet him if you have a building project, even if it's a commercial project. He is so thorough and so precise. You're really going to like this man. 785-236-0161. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan, St. Joe, Lansing, Leavenworth, Ottawa, you name it. You got a project? You want to build a home? Back9development.com. The NBA ratings are sort of the antithesis of what I think could happen here with the PGA. Let me give you an example of what I think works in sports. Like LeBron James is the most famous person in the NBA. He's not in the playoffs. The playoffs ratings are up 14%. LeBron's negatives are now better than his positives. He drags the league more than he helps it. People like Ja Morant. They like the Phoenix Suns playing. They love Doncic in Dallas is drawing big ratings. They're seeing these players and these teams that they can relate to that aren't LeBron. They don't know them as America-hating, cop-hating, you know, take a knee, close your eyes, ignore the national anthem haters. When you don't know a product as that, you like it. I think golf would do well at some point here. This isn't the year. This isn't quite the time to move away from Tiger and Phil. Tiger and Phil are not factors in golf. They're stars in golf, but they're not factors. It would be a good thing for golf if one of the younger players, like if Jordan Spieth wins the career slam this week, that would be the best thing for golf. To have a guy around age 30 or whatever he is, 32, the career grand slam is ridiculous. Phil hasn't done it. Tom Watson hasn't done it. So many great Hall of Fame players have not won all four majors. If Jordan Spieth wins this week, he does that. Rory McIlroy hasn't done it. He still needs the Masters. It's a hard thing to get that fourth one, and it becomes an albatross. And for Jordan Spieth, it's the PGA. The best thing would be able to create that star now and get golf moving past it. The NBA is doing that. NBA ratings are up 14%. When was the last time you heard anything political about the NBA? It isn't happening much. There's some China stories out there. People are asking questions, hey, of the commissioner and whatnot. You're still affiliated with China, blah, blah, blah. But LeBron's out of this thing. The Lakers are out, and it's a positive. Their ratings are up. LeBron is gone, and more people are watching. You can't argue this. This is the best television ratings they've had since 2014. Why? What's different all of a sudden? 14, okay, so that means 15. Things started to change in 15. 15 is when Trump came down the escalator. Right? Shocking. The NBA's had a bad time here for 6 years because they've all just been lashing out against conservatives. We're seeing companies pull out of this and stop. The NFL was involved in it. You haven't heard a peep. They figured out getting the hell out of this, buying the players off, giving to their charities, whatever we got to do, we'll do it. Getting out of politics is good for business. LeBron James not in the playoffs is a winner. The Celtics are good. They're playing well and in it. The Celtics are a big draw, but the Lakers aren't. The Knicks aren't. Some of the great big traditional draws in this league are not in. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Ratings are up. Why are ratings up? Why are people giving it a chance? I don't know that player. Oh, look at that guy. I've not really heard of him. Let's watch the next generation of players and see if we like them a little bit better than those guys in their mid-30s. That's where they are. That's where this is. That doesn't always hold true. It's a lot of times about teammates. Doncic's been around. Steph Curry's alive. So, you know, we've got these players that have been around, and certainly any league needs some star power. But we're not talking about a lot of figures here. You know, it isn't Harden, who nobody likes. Nobody likes James Harden. Nobody likes LeBron James. The guys you hate are out, and people are watching. Amazing how that works. I love that part. I think it's the favorite part about my tenure doing this podcast the last year and a half. Doing this, the biggest change from day one of the podcast until today is the cultural change. And again, this is all, everything is Trump effect. Is the cultural effect we've had on businesses to shut the hell up and stay out of it. We really don't need them on our side. We really don't care if a business is liberal. We don't care if the NBA is liberal and supports a lot of causes. And I don't really care. Just don't shove it down my throat. Don't put it on the court. Don't give exceptions to players. Don't promote it. Don't do it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Shut up and dribble. Nothing could be simpler than shut up and dribble. Nothing. If you want politics, you come to this podcast and you stay away from a liberal podcast. I get it. Everybody gets it. Now these big companies are finally getting it. And as the NBA has cooled down, calmed down, all the rhetoric, all the hysteria, all the violence, all the stuff, and LeBron James is out, nowhere to be seen, ratings are up 14%. Gotta love that. As always, thank you so much for listening to KKHI. Tell a friend about it if you could, or a family member. If you do, could you ask them to hit that like or follow button? It's free. Doesn't cost a thing. It gets a notification for you every day that we're there. We're 19,000 followers to the podcast. We'll maybe have a little celebration here when we hit 20,000. Let's just keep doing it. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Appreciate you listening. And hope you enjoyed this episode of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.